the pushback is working. Wait till you hear what the song is doing on the Billboard charts.
Excellent. I'd like to hear
the
that.
The pushback is working. Are we ready
to
roll?
Yeah, we're rolling. Let's hit record.
Garage Logic Podcast number 66, December 19th, 2018. 29 below in 1983.
Woo!
Boy, there was a stretch of cold weather in 1983 and a stretch of beautiful weather in 1923. It was 52 degrees on the thermometer of the Common Surface Savings and Loan in downtown Garage Logic. We're brought to you by Fratelloni's Ace Hardware Stores.
And now, from the mayor's office, above the boathouse, on the east shore of Spoon Lake, it's Garage Logic with Rookie on production. Chris Reavers, director of social media, John Hyde in the newsroom, and occasionally Kenny from the Krabby Coffee Shop. Here is your flashlight king, fireworks commissioner, and keeper of common sense, your mayor, Joe Souchere.
You ever hear of a place called Tangier Island?
Tangier Island. Oh, I don't know why that sounds familiar to me.
Tangier Island is in the Chesapeake Bay, almost at the southeasternmost end of it.
Okay.
And WTOP, we have a sister ship relationship to some extent with WTOP in Washington, D.C.
Very successful radio station.
And they, Michelle Bash of WTOP has done a five-part podcast on Tangier Island.
Oh.
It's called Going Under. I don't think it's necessarily pursuing the hysterical idea that it's disappearing because of global warming.
Mm.
There's a variety of reasons. Most of the island's residents believe that it's erosion. But the point being that—
So they're losing the island?
Well, that's the contention, that within 25 years, it might be uninhabitable. It's not much of an island, to tell you the truth, but it has a unique history. And the people who live there even have their own dialect to a certain degree. And it's it played a significant role in the Revolutionary War, for example.
Okay.
And it's a great tourist destination. But I have questions. We're going to be joined by Michelle because this is a podcast right up GL's alley. It's got boats and islands and ferry boats.
I have a mental picture of it, and I've never seen it, so I can't wait to hear about it.
I think the chief— or the most principal economy of the inhabitants of the island is oyster fishing. I've only been able to listen to two of the five podcasts.
It's right up Bra's alley, huh?
It really is.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you something else. I told you one time, to your great sophomoric delight, that I check a website every day called woodyboater.com.
Yeah, I remember that.
Right?
We mocked you a little bit.
Because I've been in the old boat game for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who does that— The guy who does that website lives in Reedville, Virginia. Well, Reedville is the ferry dock to go to Tangier Island.
Oh, really?
It's Tangier Island, Virginia. It's in the state of Virginia.
In fact, if I'm not mistaken, the last time you brought that up, when you said woodyboater.com, we said, I don't know, Woody.
Well,
we're not doing that today.
Right. Yeah,
it was almost a Bader Meinhof for me to realize that when I was doing some homework about Tangier Island, in order to talk to Michelle Bash, I learned that one of the destination points for the ferry is Reedville, Virginia.
Interesting.
What a beautiful part of the world that must be.
I've never been, and I guess that's on the bucket list to go out east in that revolutionary era.
I've been to Annapolis, but I've never been to the eastern shore of Maryland. I've never really spent any time on Chesapeake Bay. But
is it mountainous in that region?
Oh, no.
Oh,
no.
God
no. Can we take that back? Let's edit that out.
I don't know. Is that a bad question? Is that really
I
dumb?
Think so.
Is it kind of dumb?
Mountainous region.
Mm-hmm. Got some hills.
You're going to Scans R Us. A
couple of streets. Look at that.
Kick
There's
a ball to the White House is what you could do.
There's a tree right there.
Chris?
I'm going to look it up. Chris? I think I'm right.
Chris?
probably not.
No. In fact, Tangier Island is only 3 feet above sea level.
I didn't mean the island itself. Well,
no,
I meant
the area you're talking about.
We are climbing Mount Kilimanjaro.
It is not mountainous.
Okay.
It is not mountainous.
Now, us being on the East Coast, for me, being at the White House, and we were invited to the White House years ago, that doesn't really count, does it? I didn't really see the shores of Annapolis or Chesapeake Bay or anything like that.
No, you did not.
We just drove right to the White House.
Tangier Island is about 90 miles south and east of Washington, D.C. And what a boating paradise that must be.
That'd be right up your alley. I'm shocked that you have not visited there, even just to look at boats. Why is that?
I guess I am too. I'm afraid to ever assemble a bucket list. I'm not sure I could ever accomplish it all. That would be somewhere on the list, is to spend a summer week on the eastern shore of Maryland.
I can see you just knocking
back. I'm a seafood guy.
Yes, you
are. I love seafood.
You are a seafood guy, and I bet they've got a wonderful selection of craft beers or maybe even a cocktail while you're watching the boats come in at sunset.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yes,
see?
Yes.
And you can't even be mocking about that.
No, because I'd be jealous of that as
everyone well. Everyone would enjoy that. Do we have Michelle?
Yes, he's just talking to her right now.
Okay. Should I put her on right here, Rook?
Yes.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi.
Michelle Bash, I'm Joe Souchere.
Hey, Joe. Great to meet you.
And we're doing the Garage Logic podcast, and you're doing, as part of WTOP's work, a podcast called Going Under. It's five parts. I've only been able to listen to two. It's about the people of Tangier Island, Virginia, and I couldn't be more enamored now that I've been doing some homework about the place.
It is fascinating. I, in particular, am fascinated by things like archaeology and dialects. And this story has both of those, along with a big mystery as to what's going to happen to this island, since scientists say it's vanishing.
I can't believe it still exists. It's only 3 feet above sea level.
About four, yeah, three four or
feet.
Four.
Yeah, well, if it's going under, it's going under due to erosion. I heard you interview many people who have that belief. Is that correct?
Yeah. The people that live there think one thing, and scientists are saying another. So there is that back and forth.
Well, I can't believe it still exists. It's not physically, it's not much of a place, is it? It's flat, and much of it's uninhabitable because it's what? It's boggy.
Yeah. The water is coming up, not just on the beaches on the sides, but it's coming up in the middle of the island. There are three strips of land, basically, with ridges on them, and that's where everyone lives. And there's about 460 inhabitants.
How is it that it became a cause célèbre? How did you get onto this?
Well, it's been in national news in recent years because it caught the ear of President Trump, and because there was a big scientific study on it that came out in 2015 that said the place is only one-third the size it was in 1850. And if we don't do anything about climate change or trying to shore up this island, it will be uninhabitable possibly as soon as 25 years from now. So that was big news that came out a few years ago. Then we got interested because a book came out over the summer about it by another journalist by the name of Earl Swift. The book is called Chesapeake Requiem. I highly recommend it. If you listen to my podcast and you want to know more, you need to read this book. This is someone who stayed on the island for a full year, really getting to know its problems, its people, its wonderfulness, too.
Well, let me play devil's advocate. If it's a third the size it was in 1850, how can that be attributed to climate change?
Well, there are other things at work as well,
right,
that I mention. One thing it's really amazing is that the place is sinking as well. The whole Chesapeake Bay region is sinking, and that's making it making the sea level rise accelerate, basically. It's adding to the sea level rise. And that has to do with the ice age, this sinking. Mm-hmm. It's because the ice that was north of the Chesapeake Bay region pushed down so hard that it's been sinking in this region because it wasn't where the ice was. The place where the ice was has been rising ever since the ice receded. And this place was kind of pushed up by the ice, and now it's sinking back into place.
I would think every time trawler goes by, they're threatened. Again, it being so low to the sea.
Yeah.
And are there no? Is it protected by no wake zones? Do you know?
I believe so. Yes. Mm-hmm. And a wall was built on one side of the island some years ago, on its west side. And that's basically what the islanders are saying. Hey, look, we had this wall built on the western side of the island, and it's really working, and we need to build it all the way around the island to better protect it.
What is Trump's point of interest?
Well, of course, we've heard from Mr. Trump that he doesn't think climate change is man-made.
Right.
And he believes in the people of Tangier Island. He's told them that, you know, he loves their way of life, that he thinks they should stay there, that he believes the island will stay there. So he, according to the mayor, who I did an extensive interview with, the mayor of Tangier Island, he believes that Trump has played a role in trying to get the mayor connected with some federal folks that may be able to free up some funding for this possible seawall.
I heard you say it, and I can't remember the number. What is the what percentage of the island's residents voted for Trump?
Oh, I believe it was 87% at least. It's way up there.
That's amazing. And you note that there are still signs supporting Trump on the island.
Oh, certainly. Yeah. During the election, well, before the election, of course, there were signs up. But now when you go, you'll see, you know, Trump 2020 signs and Trump flags, huge flags, you know, flying right below the American flag. And, you know, this is a tourist area as well, in addition to being a crabbing community. So you're seeing all of this Trump support, you know, right there next to signs that direct tourists to the gift shop and, you know, this kind of thing, which I think is interesting, too.
How did it come to be that it was able to sustain itself as such a distinct place, right down to its own dialect? How did that come about?
I think, well, we know that the first documented white settlers on the island after the Native Americans was the 1700s.
Mm-hmm.
But the place is so isolated. There's another island in the Chesapeake Bay that's easier to get to. It is in it's a little bit north of Tangier, but Tangier is more difficult to get to. It's more isolated. Another point that the author makes in his book is that there are very few people who have summer homes on the island. You know, you hear of islands elsewhere where they may be small, but they have summer homes where people from the mainland will come out and spend the summer. That's not the case on Tangier because it's just more difficult to get to. I believe the boat ride for me was between 45 minutes and an hour.
Did you leave from Reedville, Virginia?
No, I left from Crisfield, Maryland.
All right. All
which
right.
is on the eastern shore yep. of Maryland. Instead of staying on the mainland, I drove over to the eastern shore across the bay to get aboard this particular boat. And I did that on purpose because it's the boat that most of the locals use to get back and forth.
Right.
And that's another thing is you live on this island. There's one grocery store.
Right.
There's a few restaurants, a few shops. But you really need to go to the mainland to get your major shopping done, to go to Walmart, to go see your doctor, to go to a concert, that kind of thing.
Is that the widest spot of the Chesapeake, about where Tangier is?
I believe so, yeah.
And
yeah.
The reason it's isolated, it's pretty much in the middle of that wide part of the bay, right?
Yeah, and the crossing can be difficult, which I found out firsthand trying to get back to Maryland from that island on the day I left. All of the tourist boats were canceled that day because we had a cold front moving in. It was windy and rainy. And we were all stuck on one boat with a very experienced captain that got us back to Crisfield. We had to go through 4 to 6 foot waves in
Holy
a small boat.
Mackerel. Holy
it was,
mackerel.
It was amazing.
Well, how do they get on and off the island in the winter? Do the boats still run on a limited schedule?
Well, yes. And sometimes they get iced in. And if, in fact, that's what happened last winter is at one point they were locked in. And that is why, one of the key reasons why they have an airstrip.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes they have to use that airstrip and bring in the helicopters and bring in the planes for supplies.
The podcast is called Going Under, and you released all five at one this week, right?
Yeah.
And I've gotten through two of them. I find it fascinating. This is right up my alley. I would love to have spent more time in my life on the Eastern Shore and Chesapeake Bay. I've only done maybe a half a day in Annapolis is my most familiar way of knowing that area. I've never really explored the Eastern Shore, but I have to think in the summer, for example, that's got to be a boating paradise.
Yes. Yes, it's a wonderful place to visit during the warmer months. And these watermen, you know, it's an island mostly of watermen,
mm-hmm.
and many of the watermen's wives are the ones in charge of restaurants and gift shops. So, for instance, the mayor is a waterman,
right.
and his wife is one of the people that owns a restaurant. So the mayor brings in super fresh seafood that he's just caught, brings it into his wife's business. Oh, and it's on your table like that.
Oh.
It's amazing.
Well, they're all oystermen, aren't they?
Yeah, oystermen, crab fishermen. It's mostly crab. The mm-hmm. mayor specializes in soft crab.
Oh.
He actually sells his soft crab in Maryland and as far as New York City.
Are there any hotels on the island?
No. There are bed and breakfasts.
Okay.
So, which makes it, you know, I kind of like that because it is isolated and it makes you feel more like you're a local that way.
You got, this is Rookie Joe's producer. How about the burgers out there? The burgers are pretty good?
No, we're not worried about burgers, Matt. It's a seafood island.
I bet you can catch one if you're not a big seafood
guy,
though.
No, it's a seafood island.
All right.
How can the public listen to this, Michelle? Where do we go?
They can listen on, they go to WTOP.com. They can go to iTunes, or they can go to Podcast One.
Podcast One, and is it 5 one-hour podcasts?
No, they are varying lengths.
All right.
The first part is pretty long because we want to lay out the story for you, but no, it's not that long. It's a good one to hit when you're driving over the holidays, we think.
Right. Is this new for WTOP? Is this a new enterprise, or have you guys been doing a lot of these podcasts?
We have not been doing a lot. Another reporter did one like this regarding a criminal case. This is the first time we've done one of this nature, and it's the first podcast I've ever done. We have some podcasts we produce on a weekly basis, but yeah, we're definitely trying to do more of these, one subject things for reporters like me, where we can branch out beyond what we have time for on the radio.
Do you feel you got to know the island people, and did you enjoy them?
Oh my goodness, I loved them. It was a wonderful trip. They were very kind to me, and you know, these folks have been through a lot because there's been a backlash against this island because so many of them support President Trump. And
right.
So I'm sure, you know, I've heard that they have a wariness to journalists because many journalists have kind of trashed them.
Right.
And you know, I wanted to give their story, you know, a balanced look. And I think I succeeded at that. And I think, they felt that for me, that I really was there to just tell their story from their point of view. I wasn't there to make any judgments.
Isn't it it's an important part of the five-part series establishing whether it should be saved, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's the big question is, do we save this place? And then, you know, if we make that decision, wow, we're going to pour money into this place, which has 460 people living on it, albeit it's very important to the crabbing industry here in the Chesapeake Bay. You know, if we save this place, then what other places do we need to save
right. That
are being threatened by climate change? I mean, we've got some big cities coming up on a list that I've read about that are facing similar problems.
Well, again, it might not be threatened by climate change. It might prove to be threatened more by erosion. My reading suggests I'm perfectly willing to see what happens.
It could be.
I won't live that long, but well, best of luck to those people, huh?
Yeah, I just don't know what's going to happen next since there really has been, you know, no dedicated push, no really big push to find the money to pay for what these people want. And plus, I'm hearing from scientists that they need more than a wall.
Mm-hmm.
They literally need to pour more sand and more stuff onto their island to build it back up.
I see. All right.
Which will take a lot more money.
Well, it's a wonderful podcast series, and I'm going to resume and listen to the final three episodes. I've only gotten through two, but I do think it's right up our alley, and our listeners will tune in and they'll love it as well.
Well, I hope you finish it, and I really appreciate you listening.
Thank you, Michelle.
Thank you.
All right, anytime. Thank you, Michelle Bash of WTOP. I think many people are invested in the idea that what we have here is a working laboratory to demonstrate climate change.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know enough about water.
Right.
It's a flat little dumpy island.
Okay.
It's boggy.
Mm-hmm.
If it's going to disappear, I can't contradict what Michelle has scientists saying. That's what the scientists are saying, climate change. But it seems to stand to logical reason that if, in fact, that island disappears someday, it'll be eroded away.
What if the bog is taken away by a helicopter that comes out and
with the giant?
If they're iced
giant,
in, yeah, I thought of you right away. It. If they're iced in, too, the the giant saw.
No,
could have thrown that one.
No, my point being that if you go and look at the pictures of the island and do some reading, I mentioned to her at the outset, I can't believe it still exists. I'm surprised it hasn't washed away 100 years ago.
Well, like you said, water is going to do whatever the hell it wants to do, well, no matter what. You can't say you have used these light bulbs and that's the reason.
I think what makes it intriguing is that it's the unique home to 460 people. Mm-hmm. And if it wasn't the unique home to 460 people, A, no one would care. And B, there'd be no podcast. And C, somebody might wake up someday and say, hey, that swamp out there disappeared. I don't think that would be I think that would be the case. What makes this unique is that this is a city, a town in Virginia, inhabited by 460 people, and their way of life might be disappearing. And I think the listeners to that Going Under podcast will have to draw their own conclusions.
I tell you what, that's a pretty darn good endorsement, though, for the mayor's wife's her restaurant.
Yeah.
I mean, how about that? Just heading right. That stuff is. I'm not a seafood guy, but that does sound like the freshest seafood you're ever going to get at any restaurant.
Oh, how could you not be a seafood guy?
I love seafood.
Say, time is running out. This is Wednesday. Christmas is now less than a week away. I want you to remember that you're going to get taken care of for all your most precious needs at RF Moeller Jeweler. They've been around for 67 years. You're going to go in there. It's going to be a wonderful environment, a wonderful atmosphere, and the greatest jewelry and watches and earrings and diamonds that you're going to ever find anywhere. But you're going to be cared for by the family. It's been a family-run business for 67 years. You're not buying a trash compactor. You're buying an heirloom for your family, something that's going to be cherished and passed down. And the staff at Moeller will be able to help you. And then best of all, for guys like us, great gift wrapping. And nothing.
Boy, does that really take a complete worry out of your.
You know what that does? That creates a lot of excitement under the old tree, if you know what I mean. Oh, Moeller.
Look at that. I wonder what that is. Let's open it now.
Three great stores. Ford in Cleveland in St. Paul is the flagship. 50th in France in Edina. Gavaday Common in downtown Minneapolis. And online at rfmoeller.com. I'm going to tell you more about the wonders of rfmoeller.com later on in the show.
University of Garage Logic, 98. College of Self-Esteem, zip, nada, nothing. Here's Joe Soucheray.
All right.
Who's my CI girl, Hannah?
That's little Hannah, young Hannah.
Well, her mother, Jessica, writes, "Well, Mayor, my eternal bad luck continues. I didn't make the cut for the winners to go to Summit. The only consolation is that I will now be able to help at my youngest daughter, Aubrey's Christmas party. I was almost looking forward to meeting you. I was most looking forward to meeting you and all of that sweet, sweet swag. I could say this is B as in B. You know the rest. As a ray of hope, Aubrey's teacher has an elf on the shelf in the classroom, and every morning they all search for him and say Merry Christmas. They even play the song Don't Be a Jerk, It's Christmas. I've attached the audio because those two morons might not be able to find it.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas to all of you, even Carl Olson." Is it Kenny or Carl?
I can't remember.
I don't remember anymore. Yeah,
Kirby?
I don't know. Ole, I think we called him. Did we call him Ole?
Is Olson going to be at Summit?
I don't know.
Carl?
I might have to put him on the guest list, apparently. He's been gone for so long. But speaking of that, there have been a lot of people, Joe, that have emailed in wondering if they could still register. No, sadly, the registration is closed. However, Summit is opening their doors at 2 o'clock, and we're sticking around.
Oh, yeah.
So if you didn't make the list,
you still
want to come hang out.
Because that's when they're
open to the public.
Ratskill are open.
Come on by two and watch Joe push you out of the way to get the hell out of Summit Brewing.
No, you're sticking around.
I think you're being uncharitable.
No, of course I am.
You're sticking around.
I'm mocking you. Of course, we'll sit there all night.
But no, that won't happen either.
We'll tie him down.
I'm not going to rush for the door, okay?
Right, okay.
Not going to rush for the door.
You will, however, if you come at two, you'll miss out on Tannucci's, which they're bringing by some chow for the people.
Yeah. Come on by Tannucci's, and if you don't make it there, go there tonight Friday night for the Friday fish fry.
May I continue with beer?
Good spread.
I wanted this Budweiser Diesel.
Oh, my God.
I want it to end.
There's more?
In fact, if you continue to email me about it, I'm throwing them away.
We have never received more email on a subject.
What kind of listeners do we have? A bunch of souses? Hans writes, "I've never heard it called Diesel, but I have heard it called Clyde, short for Clydesdale." Yeah. Hey, I'll have a Clyde.
All right.
See, that makes sense to me.
Yes.
Diesel doesn't make any sense.
No. Clyde.
Clyde,
like
as
that.
In the Clydesdale?
Yeah.
Jim writes, Budweiser is not the diesel brand. Pfeiffer used to be called Diesel. Sold it on Rice Street. 24 case of returnable bottles for $3.99.
Oh, wow.
Pfeiffer.
That would be Diesel. You could run a Jeep on that.
Wow. Pfeiffer.
You could power up.
I can't imagine
something.
How great you'd feel the next day.
Have you guys had Pfeiffer?
If I have, it's been a long time.
Yeah, if the same.
Okay. My dad used to try that, and I may have, you know, prior to being 21, maybe had a sip out of desperation.
Pete writes, as you know, I'm from St. Louis. Why would I know that?
Pete? Pete the Mailman?
What's Pete's last name?
Pete the Mailman's not from St. Louis,
Mark. No, this is Pete Fox?
Oh, yeah. He's a regular emailer.
Well, I didn't know he was from...
well, I did.
St. Louis.
From
right.
St. Louis. You also have friends in St. Louis. Is he talking to you maybe, Reavers?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
For many years, people in St. Louis would just call it beer. Hey, get me a beer meant get me a Bud. Well, times changed. When Bud Light was introduced, Bud was called leaded, and Bud Light was called unleaded. Mm-hmm. I've never heard Diesel, but hey, whatever floats your boat. My wife is from the Twin Cities, so I now live in the Twin Cities in Woodbury. I love many of the craft beers, but a cold Bud is hard to pass up every now and then. Just the smell of it instantly takes... Why isn't Budweiser advertising with us?
I don't know.
As long
should.
As you're getting all this damn free publicity. This ends today.
Right.
This controversy ends.
Right.
Just the smell of it instantly takes me back to St. Louis, and I'm watching a Cardinals game at Busch Stadium.
Oh, my God.
By the way, thanks for getting new commercials. The Angry Beaver was driving me crazy. Merry Christmas to you and the crew, and good luck, Pete. Okay, that's it on the budge. Call it whatever you want.
No, but to follow up Pete's email, my very first time going down to St. Louis was about 2004, and I was the guy that I was out with my friend who lived in town, and we went to a Cardinals game. And I was the guy that ordered a Coors Light.
Yeah. Oh.
And I got the death stare at the ballpark. And he said, no, son, we drink Budweiser at this ballpark.
Am I hearing the delightful sounds of John Height's voice?
Well,
I don't know
if they're delightful.
Is he in the house?
I'm here.
Because you know
here.
What we've been saving, John?
Oh, God.
I've been accumulating all the material.
Oh, yeah.
We've been gathering since the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction. The inductees were announced late last week.
They were.
And we've been saving that for you, and we're going to do that coming up with John Height.
Okay.
All right. Take it away, Rook. Leonard Skinner in the Hall of Fame?
I believe they are, yes.
Well, speaking of the Hall of Fame, Chief Offside Correspondent Kelsey notes, correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't the show we went to at the XL Center supposed to be their farewell? He's referring to Leonard Skinner. And he linked me to a piece that says, Leonard Skinner has announced summer shows at Treasure Island.
Well, yeah.
You're right. They didn't.
Too.
They did announce
one band member, and now
to.
It's the final tour of
the July 19th show. I don't know that. Did they advertise their XL show 2 months ago or whatever it was as their farewell tour?
Well, this whole tour was supposed to be their farewell tour, yes.
So never stops.
Maybe it's not over.
Maybe it's extended, perhaps. I'm not sure.
Bob Seger is done, right? He's done.
I think this is the last one, right?
Yeah. Ah, these guys, they come out of retirement more than wrestlers.
Seger was pretty good.
Here's John Height.
2005, Skinner elected to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Yes.
All right.
There you go. Some familiar names. I'm doing news here, right? Is that correct?
I think so.
Okay.
You a little rusty, John?
I am. It's been a while. Yeah. Some familiar
names. Is this number that we're doing right now? Or
this number four, sir.
Four.
That'll probably be combined, but I was almost called him Kenny when he came in.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Ouch. That's the guy's name.
Well, John, you've been fighting the Qatar.
It's one of those...
the guitar, the Qatar.
Yeah, it knocked me for a loop in two different segments.
We're talking about you had a cold.
Yeah, early last week and then toward the weekend, too.
Well, don't get near me.
But now I'm fine. I'm fine now. It's just a little hoarse.
All right.
There's no joke there, isn't it? Yeah.
Thanks, Groucho.
You're welcome. Some familiar names. As Governor-elect Tim Walz announces the first five state agency heads who will serve in his administration, Walz tapped Jennifer Ho as commissioner of the Minnesota Housing Finance Agency, Margaret Anderson Kelleher as commissioner of the Minnesota...
They just don't go away, do
nope.
they? Just don't go away.
She'll be the commissioner of the Department of Transportation.
What does she know about that? I mean,
I have no idea. I'm trying to think of what role she had when she worked in the
Was she Speaker of the House?
Yeah, she was Speaker. Yeah. Nora Slawik will be the chair of the Met Council. Alice Roberts Davis, commissioner of the Department of Administration, and Myron Franz has been reappointed as commissioner of the Office of Management and Budget. Ho was a senior policy advisor for housing and services in the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development during the Obama administration. Anderson Kelleher served 12 years in the House, including two terms as speaker. Roberts Davis currently serves as the assistant commissioner at the Department of Administration, and Slawik right now is the mayor of Maplewood, a former longtime state representative. A cold case apparently solved. Minneapolis police announced Tuesday South St. Paul man has been arrested in connection with the 1991 murder of Belinda Thompson. Minneapolis Police Department identified the man as 56-year-old Donald Jenkins Jr. According to a news release from the police department, Thompson, who was 20 at the time of her death, was found in the bedroom of her South Minneapolis apartment December 19, 1991. Release said Jenkins was arrested Tuesday in South St. Paul. Jenkins was apparently an acquaintance at the time of Thompson's boyfriend. Authorities say Jenkins was arrested after the Bureau of Criminal Apprehension conducted additional testing of evidence, DNA evidence, that was found at the scene. Jenkins currently being held in the Hennepin County Jail on probable cause murder. President Troop says he'll be polling 2,000 United States.
President Trump.
What did I say?
Troop.
Troop? Did I really?
You said President Troop.
I don't know what that. Oh, right. Because the story involves troops.
I see.
President Trump.
I was thinking of F Troop.
I guess I am a little rusty.
I think you are. Yeah.
A lot of people are saying F Troop.
Yeah. F Troop. Yeah, it was an old TV show.
Right. Okay.
F Troop, though. Right. That's right. Very good look. That's very funny, actually.
John.
Yes.
Yesterday, we learned late in the show that Penny Marshall had died.
Yes.
And I instantly asked Reavers, well, she was in Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah.
Right. Uh-huh. And then she had her own success as a director.
Yeah, very good director.
But I asked Rookie, you know, what was Laverne's last name on the show? And he instantly got it, DeFazio.
Yeah.
And then I said, what was Shirley's last name? He instantly got it. It was Feeney. This is a guy who can't name one character from North by Northwest. It's pathetic. It's just absolutely pathetic.
I really disappointed you.
It broke my heart.
I didn't know I was being put to the test. I was reclining, closing my eyes in a dark studio, relaxing, and then I instinctively answered your questions.
I said, hey, Rook, what was Laverne's last name? DeFazio.
Boom, like
what
that.
Was Shirley's last name? Feeney.
And I thought, look at I've provided him information without mocking, and it's immediate, and I beat Kelsey. Mm-hmm. So,
you know, it wasn't any information I was looking for. I was asking you to prove a point.
I thought maybe you were going to put them in an upcoming column or something like that. You know, those crazy gals.
It's the old kids joke from, 20 years ago. You'd ask those questions, and when you knew both answers, you just go, geek check, and then you're done.
No, there was other words that were said.
Well, there were, yes. But
I was told I was pathetic in a very colorful way.
President Trump.
Yes, you were.
Was there an adjective in
it?
I think so. President Trump pulling 2,000 United States ground troops out of Syria. He tweeted this morning, we have defeated ISIS in Syria. My only reason for being there during the Trump presidency. A formal withdrawal announcement should come early this afternoon, according to administration officials. But Pentagon officials still trying to talk the president out of it. They're arguing that such a move would betray Kurdish allies who have fought alongside American troops in Syria and then who could find themselves under attack in a military offensive now threatened by Turkey. Meanwhile, the president, eager to sign a criminal justice bill just passed by the Senate, that bill would give judges more discretion when sentencing some drug offenders and would boost prisoner rehab efforts, was hailed by scores of conservative and liberal advocacy groups. The sweeping bill addresses concerns that the nation's war on drugs had led to the imprisonment of too many Americans for nonviolent crimes without adequately getting them ready for their return to society. The Senate passed the bill Tuesday, 87-12. Culminates years of negotiations and gives President Trump a signature policy victory. The House is expected to pass the bill this week, sending it to the president's desk for his signature. Trump tweeting moments after the Senate vote, America is the greatest country in the world, and my job is to fight for all citizens, even those who have made mistakes. He tweeted, this will keep our communities safer and provide hope and a second chance to those who earn it. In addition to everything else, billions of dollars will be saved. I look forward to signing this into law.
John.
Yeah.
Here were the Hall of Fame inductees.
Uh-huh.
Janet Jackson.
Uh-huh.
I said no.
Uh-huh.
What do you say?
I would probably say no.
Radiohead. I said no.
I'm not a big fan of
They're too self-indulgent.
Yeah.
Def Leppard.
I'd say no.
Yeah. I said no.
No case can be made for Def.
Stevie Nicks. I said yes.
I could go with that, yes.
I could go with that. The Cure. I said yes.
Uh-huh. I'm on the
You're on the fence?
I'm on the fence about
that. He's a Cure guy, though, so he wants them.
That, Roxy Music.
I see, I love that band, but I don't was there that much
not to
material?
Me. Not,
my question was, I don't know who they were. I'm not even trying to be funny.
There's some very good songs by them, but I don't know that the material was.
I mean, when you say Roxy.
Who was Roxy Music?
It was Brian Ferry. Brian Ferry. He was the lead singer and the guy who wrote most of the stuff. And
the other guy.
Can't think of the guitar player's name. He was very good. Phil somebody.
And the Zombies. Spectre? The Zombies.
Most definitely. I think the Zombies should be.
Okay, but that gave rise to my question.
Yeah.
Well, then what British Invasion Act are you not going to put in there?
Well, I think the Zombies.
What about the Swinging Blue Jeans?
No, come on.
Herman's
You're
Hermits.
Comparing? What?
Well, I'm just saying.
To the Zombies?
My overarching concern about this place is it's too easy to get in.
We agree completely on that.
Yeah.
Completely. Because I obviously was thinking about this when I read the stories last week. But the bands like, okay, the last few years we have Def Leppard. Okay, I think Photograph's a brilliant record. Okay.
Well, I don't, but you're the expert. That's why we waited for you.
I think it's a great pop rock record.
All right.
But you don't get in on one great pop rock record, and
but
their
they
albums
have sold millions of
but
albums.
But does sales?
I don't know.
Does that matter in the Hall of Fame?
Yes, I think it should.
I don't know.
I don't think it should matter. Well, then Barry Manilow should be
okay,
in the Rock Hall.
But I only say that, John, because obviously it appeals to a vast and wide ranging audience.
That's not
which
the
means
point
it's popular.
Of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, though. Popularity was never the point when they started it. It is now. But when it started, that wasn't the point.
But the taste of music is subjective, John.
But it's not.
John, here's who didn't get in.
Yes.
LL Cool J.
Welcome back, buddy. Uh-huh.
Kraftwerk.
Well.
And the funk band Rufus.
Yeah. Again, this I love Rufus, but there was a small body of work.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
Here's a guy who emails, I got two words for you. Uriah Heep.
Well.
Really? Yeah. Really?
Easy Living. That? Easy Living's a great song, but is that going to get you in the Rock and Roll
Here's
Hall of Fame?
Here's a story. Get older bands into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame before they and their fans are dead.
Like Transylvania 65,000, Glenn Miller.
Bachman Turner Overdrive. Are they
a little
in there?
BTO.
Taking care of business.
See, now, yeah. So if you're going to bring up Randy Bachman, I think he was in a much better band that's not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The Guess Who.
Guess Who, yeah.
They're not in. No.
I think they should be, John.
I think they should, too.
Yeah. Roxy's Brian Ferry, Graham Simpson, Phil Manzanera.
Yeah, he was the guitarist for
and
Manzanera.
Andy McKay, Paul
Thompson. The thing to me is all these bands that are getting in now. Okay, Bon Jovi last year.
Yeah.
Forget record sales, Chris. I don't care about popularity.
I know.
We want them in Dead or Alive.
There's Living on a Prayer. I think that's a great written song. Okay?
Yeah.
But that doesn't get you in a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I'm with John.
Slippery When Wet. Great album.
Journey the year before, okay, one or two songs, yeah, they're great, but that doesn't get you in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It'd be like if the Baseball Hall of Fame suddenly started letting in guys who hit 290.
Harold Baines?
Career. I wasn't going to bring up Harold. But.
What about Grand Funk? Are they in there?
Boy, they're not. No,
with
they're
those
not,
lyrics?
You want me
they're,
to look it up?
They're not in there.
The Doobie Brothers?
Doobie Brothers are not, and they should
deserve.
Be.
Motorhead?
I don't think Motorhead's in either.
I think he goes in just because who could stand that voice? What the hell?
Well, there's a lot of what about guys like I was thinking about this last week. Obviously, Joe Cocker's not in.
No.
How can
Joe
Def,
Cocker's
how
not
can
in?
Def Leppard be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame? And Joe Cocker's not.
I would agree with that.
Warren Zevon was another guy I thought of immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Not in. The guess who we already talked about. Of course, my pet peeve, Los Lobos.
Right.
And if luckily Rook can't play the music anymore, so he can't play the wrong band.
Damn it.
30 years of wonderful rock and roll from them. Not even a nod.
Right.
That's why I don't think the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame really matters much anymore.
I don't think so either.
It's a popularity contest.
Who's on the voting panel? Who votes?
It used to be critics and musicians, but now they've added the popular vote.
Oh,
which is why the next 3 years.
But
Reeves,
why were we taking email grief? What were I didn't get a lot of email grief. What were you seeing?
Because John can provide wisdom and insight to some of these bands, whereas Rook and I just try to make quips.
And Reeves is just remembering back to his diesel drinking days of what band he liked to hear on the radio.
I'm all about Def Leppard being in. Pour some sugar on me, baby.
Listen now, okay, you consider those bands. and the bands I grew up, because I'm older, in the 70s with, there were bands like that, but they maybe a little different genre, like the Southern bands, who I think are better than Def Leppard. I'd rather Marshall Tucker Band.
Oh, I love the Marshall Tucker Band. The Atlanta Rhythm Section. Yeah.
If you're going to put Def Leppard in, you got to start putting those bands in.
Well, that's the problem.
Exactly.
That's why I got hung up on the Zombies. I'm not, I like the Zombies. Yeah. But I'm just saying, where are you going to draw the line on British invasion groups?
Well, for serious question then for both of you. What should the standard be? What would make you guys happy is the standard.
When they started the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it was supposed to be about artists who had a huge influence, number one, which, you know, as you, as there's more bands out there, you're not as big of an influence because you're just kind of doing what people have done for 50 years. But it was influence, popularity, but not as in terms of record sales, just in terms of, you know, like the Beatles, that kind of stuff.
Longevity?
Longevity, yes, which is a big thing, I think, now.
Like, it sounds like Def Leppard.
Well,
but the Zombies don't exist anymore, do they?
Yeah, they do. The two guys, Colin Blundstone and, or not Colin, yeah, Colin Blundstone and the other guy.
Isn't there a guy named Rob Zombie?
Not Rob Zombie, Ron Argent.
Oh, Ron Argent.
Who went on to form his own band called Argent, who had a big hit with Hold Your Head Up.
Remember that song? Is there somebody named Rob Zombie? Where am I
getting Rob Argent.
That had nothing to do with the Zombies?
No, he's a metal guy. He's a metal guy.
Like back to Grand Funk not getting in. How do they not get in when they write lyrics so beautiful as, we're an American band, we're coming to your town, we'll help you party down, we're an American band.
I'm gonna go round and round with Rook on this, because I think that's a brilliantly written lyric if you put the whole song in front of you.
I'm your captain. I think one of the great rock and roll songs of all time.
Was that the picture where all those dudes had long hair and they're all naked in a picture?
That's the album Survival, I think.
Okay.
John, whatever happened to a group like Iron Butterfly?
I don't know, but see, stuff like that I wouldn't even consider because they're so dated. It's
But Metamorphosis was a wonderful, wonderful album, don't you think?
I don't know.
Okay.
Hey, you know what, though? Since we're talking about bands from that era that you like and I like,
how
about Blood, Sweat, and Tears?
Are they not in?
They're not in.
They have to be.
They're not. I would
see,
agree.
See, my criteria would simply be quality, the quality of the work. Yeah. And the quality of that work was extraordinary.
Yeah, it was incredible.
So then what if a band makes one quality song? Would that get them in?
No, I say no. To me, no. But Blood, Sweat, and Tears didn't make one. They made a lot.
Is what I'm telling you.
There's Grand
Funk. These guys, why not let the boys in, huh? They took off all their clothes to
Watch, find video of them doing Closer to Home live at, say, Shea Stadium. It's an extraordinary song. They're really great.
They were, when I was an eighth grader, they were right behind the Beatles.
Oh, they're just fantastic.
It was Credence, Grand Funk, and the Beatles.
Now, Credence has got to be in.
Yes, Credence is in. Yes.
I mean, for me, as a young male, you know, between that and the whipped cream lady, you know, Herb Alpert's whipped cream lady, I chose her every time.
I think the head guy of Grand Funk's now some sort of Christian rocker.
That's Mark Farner.
Mark Farner, you are correct.
Yes. I believe, Rook, you may have the other night seen one of those guys, because for a long time, Dan Brewer with the Afro was Bob Seger's drummer for the last 20 years.
Really?
Yes.
Who was the guy, Joe, that became the Christian rocker?
Mark Farner.
And Rook, wasn't he the guy that stood at that La Quinta Inn outside of the Wisconsin State
Fair? He was ready to go. He was ready to.
I'm missing this.
He was ready to
what?
What is this?
Make no mistake about it.
Christmas time.
It's Patton Oswalt's rendition of the Christmas Shoes Reset, and the Christian rocker who said, "Make no mistake, we will lay it down. We will lay it down at the La Quinta Inn next to the State Fair where we're performing."
Yikes.
John, it's an annual event with us to go through these. It seems you and I were almost in complete agreement on who should get in and who shouldn't.
Yeah, it's because, I don't know, it's just, like I said, it's...
So the integrity...
You can't let everybody in.
The integrity is what's at question here for the Hall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not even that I don't like some of those bands, I do, but they were Hall of Famers.
Hall of Fame is huge.
Yeah, so...
Well, it's...
It is.
It's... What are you going to do?
You make it what you can.
What are you going to do?
You make it what you can.
I completely forgot what I was going
to
say.
No, when in doubt, you know what you got to do? It's one thing where you give it up and you just go right to sidekick in a can.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's what I was trying
Grand
to say.
Grand Funk's not in.
Seriously?
That's right.
You know, Roxy.
Come on.
No, they're in. They're going in.
You're kidding.
Yeah.
We just have to get back to those old school values, don't we?
Well, Roxy probably could be credited with influencing the development of the cure.
Give me a break on this.
Are you, see, I don't. Why are you dragging outside kicking a can?
It just seems like it's the right thing to do.
All right.
Beats me.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to wrap her up?
Yeah, whatever.
Whoa! Okay. Come on.
All right.
Yeah. GarageLogic.com, where you can find out everything you want to know about GL. Tell your friends and relatives and potential other listeners across the globe. Check out Greg Holcomb's wonderful cartoon creations. Find out what's on Joe's Bookshelves and Author's Corner. And don't forget to rate us on Apple iTunes. We'd like to get your feedback. Thanks. You're one click away from more Garage Logic podcast version coming up.